Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not everything exists on a gradient or on a spectrum. Some things are either this or that, either black or white, with no room for gray, nothing in between. You can't be a little bit pregnant or a little bit married, nor can you be partially dead. When Jesus was casting out demons and the crowd marveled, the Pharisees and the scribes and others in the crowd murmured, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A divided household falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." There is no middle ground. Either Jesus is your Savior or your adversary, your friend or foe. There is no such thing as a half-Christian. There's no fence-sitting, no neutrality, no not choosing sides. If you will not be on the side of Christ, you are already on the side of the devil, either a Christian or not. There is no more a half-Christian than there can be a half-husband. Those who contend, "I believe in God, but I don't need to be where he delivers his gifts," are like a husband who might say, "I believe in my wife, I'm married to my wife, but that doesn't mean I need to go home to her at night, eat the meal that she has prepared for me. She knows I love her. I can love her when I'm out with my buddies or in the arms of a lover. She's still my wife." Nonsense. You cannot reject the Lord's gifts, his word and sacraments, and suppose to be a Christian. To reject the gifts is to reject the giver. There's a similar danger for parents who suppose they can have their children baptized and then later break the vows that they make to ensure that the child is brought to the services in the Lord's house, instructed towards faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Baptism is an exorcism, a driving out of the devil. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Depart, thou unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit. And through baptism, Jesus continues to drive out demons, to sweep the house clean, to evict the strong man Satan. Before the coming of the stronger man, the strong man was safe and secure, his possessions, his property, well guarded. But when the stronger man comes, who through holy baptism and the preaching of his word binds and drives out the strong man, he casts him out of the house, plunders his spoil. But then, driven out, having wandered through waterless places, the devil doesn't return while the house is still occupied by the stronger man. He waits for the house to be vacant. If you keep your children or yourselves away from the places where God delivers his faith-creating, faith-sustaining gifts, eventually the stronger man Jesus will have departed. And when the strong man, the devil, finds the house empty and swept clean, Jesus warns he returns with seven of his friends, seven times more powerfully. And the last condition of those baptized who departed from the faith is worse than before. There's no such thing as a half-Christian. No way to love both Beelzebul, the devil, the world, or your sinful flesh, and also Jesus, your Savior. A kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A divided household stands. You cannot remain both in Christ and in your sin. St. Paul warns, "Be imitators of God," exhorts, "Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." But sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness, must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Paul says, no middle ground, no half Christians. Be imitators of God as his beloved children. Blessed Dr. Walther, the first president of the Synod, preached, what is the true cause of this conduct? It so happens that all such without suspecting belong to the devil's kingdom. He does not permit them to see that fundamentally they are still enemies of Christ, enemies of his grace, his word, his kingdom, his church, his believers. The devil holds them captive in his net. They do his will. He deceives them most shamefully. God says, either completely mine or not at all. Leave the devil completely and join Christ. That's the way to do it. The devil, on the other hand, gladly permits his subjects to be half Christian, be somewhat pious, do this or that good work, for then he has them more securely in his power. Such half Christians, Walther says, are the most unfortunate of all the devil's subjects. Because they are secure, they suppose they lack nothing. They are going the correct middle road, and therefore they always live in the delusion that they are members of Christ's kingdom. But they go to hell with their imagined faith, said Walther. Dangers abound, to be sure. But the comfort is that the Pharisees, the scribes, those who blasphemously accused Jesus of driving out demons by the power of Satan, by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, are dead wrong. Jesus drove out demons not by the power of Satan, but by the finger of God. If the kingdom of God has come among you, then Satan's kingdom is undone, toppled. Jesus' power to bind the strong man and drive him out of the houses, the people he occupies, flows from the power he displayed on the cross, a power over death yet hidden in death. The one who drove out demons, who made the mute man speak, Jesus Christ, is the stronger man. He came to destroy the kingdom of the devil, to bind the strong man, pillage his kingdom, snatch from his control the Lord's elect. He broke the strong man's power. He pillaged his kingdom, ransomed all those who believe in him, delivered to them his precious gift of faith. On the cross, when the stronger man, Jesus, died for the sins of the world, the kingdom of the strong man, the devil, was left hollow and broken. Just as the devil's kingdom is united and fiercely compact, so on the other side is Christ's kingdom, likewise united and closely bonded together. When the devil assails a Christian, he assails Christ himself and the whole heavenly host. As Christ himself said to Saul, who persecuted the Christians, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am the Lord Jesus whom you persecute. Two champions stand opposed, Christ and Satan. Each has a strong united kingdom. Whoever provokes a devil provokes Beelzebul, chief of the devils, and all the devils with him. On the other hand, whoever attacks a Christian attacks Christ and all his angels with him. Christ alone is the stronger man who can topple the reign of the strong man. He drove out the demon from the mute man by the very finger of God. And in the waters of holy baptism has driven the devil out of you by the very finger of God. You belong to him, and he fights for you against all the devils and powers of hell. It's not up to you to avoid being half Christian any more than it's up to you to make yourself a whole Christian. You can do neither. By driving out the devil at your baptism, the Lord has made you a part of his kingdom. He has driven the demon out of your house, filled you with himself instead. There's no middle ground, to be sure, and being in the devil's kingdom is remarkably easy, but there is nothing easier than being in the strong man's possession. There is nothing you need to do. Jesus claims you as his own. The stronger man causes you to dwell in him. He sends to you his Holy Spirit, who does for you what you could not do for yourself, gives to you the gift of faith that by your own reason or strength you could never have. But the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gift, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. And not just you, but the whole Christian church on earth. The Lord knits together into one holy communion, binds you together, bounds you with one another by means of his ongoing work to keep the strong man at bay. He provides his word, which causes the demons to run away. He sends his ministers to you week after week to speak his word of holy absolution, around which the devils simply cannot remain. And he graces you with his very presence on the altar, which is enough to send the demons fleeing for their lives. When he fills you with himself, when he places his body into your mouth, when he sends his blood shed for you on the cross, now coursing down your throat, the demons don't stand a chance. They cannot dwell in his presence. You are with him because he has delivered faith, because he sustains you with his precious word and sacraments. You are as he makes you. There's no such thing as a half Christian because the Lord doesn't work in half measures. He makes you wholly his. Just as there is one Lord Jesus, so those who are in him are one. The old is left in the watery grave of holy baptism, and what remains in the Lord's sight and into eternity is a new whole you, holy Christian, holy his, eternally. That's the power of the stronger man, to drive the strong man out, and by his ongoing work, the finger of God pressed into your life through his word and sacraments, he keeps the strong man forever at bay and forever broken. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.